You have a blast. Myself, I have never felt called to be a children's worker. But I'm wondering if maybe someday I should just do that.
You can do that.
Pick a Sunday. That'll be the week. No, I want to be here when Karen preaches. I want to do what she does to me all the time. Oh yeah, and this. But I don't know. I'll be praying about that. I'll have to think about that. Amen. I cannot get away from preaching about love. I just can't get away from it. And so I have another message about love this morning. A year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, we got to get the love right. It's all about the love. What are the greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about the love. We've preached through the love languages. We found that to be very interesting and very powerful and very life-changing. By the way, I still teach that on occasion in different places. It's such a powerful concept that even secular groups are having me teach love languages to individuals in order that their lives can be changed by the power of love, and it's just an awesome thing. And so over and over, the Lord is just putting in my heart to preach and to teach on love. And today I want to start in John chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You know, I can read this whole passage, and that might be the only verse that we hear at times. Oh, God will give me anything I ask for. Listen to the whole thing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Father, I thank you for your word, how powerful and true it is. And I pray, God, that you will help us, to get the love right, to understand what you're saying here, that our lives would be changed, and God, that we would have impact in the world around us. Speak to our hearts and change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage was talking, oh, you know what, I want to cover something real quick. If you back up to chapter 14, and I don't have this in my notes, but I want to go there. Because people have a hard time understanding the indwelling of Jesus into your life. How do you know that you're saved? How do you know what's going on, you know, that you're a part of God's kingdom. And back in chapter 14, verse 19, it says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." Jesus says, you will know that I'm with the Father, and you will know, what does it say there? That you are in me, but you will know that I am in you. How many of us at times have been asked the question, well, how do you know that Jesus is inside you? And the answer is, I just know. How do you explain that? And what he goes on to say there in verse 21, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." And so the way that we show God that we love him is we keep his commandments. But what he says then is that, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus manifests himself to you. That's how you know that he's inside of you, is because he has manifested himself to you. And so when somebody says to you, well, how do you know? You say, because he revealed it to me in my heart, and I just know it. He said in his word that he loved me, and he said he would manifest himself to me, and that's why I follow him, because I know he's in there. That's why it's so hard to understand. What is a manifestation? A manifestation is, I didn't look up the definition, but it sounds to me like something that wasn't now is. And so when Jesus manifests himself inside you, it's like before he wasn't in there, but now he is. He has manifest. And so you can know. And so when somebody asks you that question, how will I know that Jesus is inside me? And the simple answer is, he'll let you know. If you don't feel him now, if you don't have any sense that he's in there, you will if you keep calling on him. He will manifest himself to you, and you will know. Anyway, hope that helps somebody. John chapter 15, talking about fruit, talking about love, talking about branches, some being cut off, some being pruned. I want to talk about these things for a few minutes this morning. Verse 2 said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, Jesus is talking about we are the branches. And he wants us to bear fruit. Not bearing fruit is not an option. We must be fruit bearers. And what he says there is that if you don't bear fruit, it gets taken, you get cut off, you're a branch that gets taken away. And so one of the things that we need to understand here is what the fruit is. What's it mean, bear fruit? And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, but I want to look at this. Bearing fruit, not bearing fruit is not an option. But if you are a branch that bears fruit, it says he purges that. Well, what's that mean? He purges or he prunes. How many know that it's best to prune a tree? I've got some in my house. We've done a few. I got to do a few more. It's best to prune a tree to get the dead stuff off of it. Sometimes it's even a good idea to cut off some little shoots that are alive, but you know what? They're going to hinder the rest of the tree, so you got to cut those things out. I hope I remember to come back to this. Where's my pen? I want to come back to this in a little bit and talk about the purging part again in a few moments. But anyway, I want to get in your minds. Listen, if we're going to follow Christ, we have to be fruit bearers. End of story. There's no other option. By the way, happy birthday, Celia. Her birthday was the other day. And sometimes when your eyes catch something, you got to go with it. Happy birthday. By the way, I have a brother and sister both born on the same day as you. Yeah, isn't that interesting? And I forgot everybody's birthday on that day. How do you like that? We have to bear fruit. And we have to have a, you know, get an understanding of what Jesus is doing in us when it says he purges us, prunes us. All right, let's look at some more. Verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit in itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. And so here we go. We know we need to bear fruit. It's not an option not to. But here's the other thing. We need Jesus in order to do it. We can't do it on our own. He says there, you, the branch, cannot bear fruit on your own. And it says that without me, you can do nothing. And so what that should tell us is, you know what? I need Jesus, and I need him a lot. Because he says I must bear fruit. It's not an option not to. But he says that I can't even possibly do it on my own. I need him. And so when we're going out there trying to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, whatever that might be, and I'm going to explain that, what that is here in a few moments. Understand, if we try to do it in our own strength, it's going to fail. If we try to do it any other way outside of the way that Jesus says to do it, it's going to fail. We need him. We need to bear fruit, and we need Jesus to be in us to be able to do that. That's why he talks about, he that abides in me and I in him, that one's going to bring forth much fruit. And so here we have established, we need to be fruit bearers, and we need to have Jesus in us in order to do that. We have to be near him. We have to be in him and he in us. Let's keep going. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, I think that we all should be very interested in making sure that we please God. Yeah? And Jesus says, by this, my Father is glorified. My Father is pleased. How many of us want to glorify God? I want to glorify God. That's, and you know, if you think about that concept, it's one of the strangest things. Why do we have this desire to glorify, to please, to be just uplifting and full of this God that we don't even see? Isn't that interesting? I have had several experiences lately of people who don't go to church, who don't read their Bibles, coming to me and saying, hey, you know what? I just feel like I need God. Isn't that awesome? And the reason for that is because God is drawing. And I believe that the closer we get to the rapture of the church, where he appears in the sky and he takes the church, I believe we're going to see that more and more and more, where people just have this sense in them, I need God. I don't know anything about him. I don't know what it's all about, but I know I just have this feeling, I need God. And you know what? We, as believers, need to have an answer for those who come and say, what is this I'm feeling? Why do I have this sense that I need God? And we need to be there to say, you know what? Because God loves you. He's drawing you to himself. And that's what you're feeling. It's God's Spirit grabbed hold of your heart and drawing you into his presence. And all you need to do to respond is to call out on the name of Jesus. The Bible says that those who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. And so call out to Jesus, and he will come in. And you will abide in him, and he in you. And your Father, our Father God, will be glorified. But it's in this that he's glorified, that we bear much fruit. And so again, the Christian walk for me has just been getting more and more exciting all the time. I can't imagine not living as a believer. I mean, I remember what it was like, and it seemed like a lot of fun, but what a waste. I mean, all the stuff I did before I came to Christ is all, it's that branch that's thrown away and burned in the fire. But now I have a reason to live. Why? Because I have a God that loves me. And the more I go out and do what He's called me to do, the more exciting it is and the more glorified He gets. And it just brings me joy. And I want to talk about that too. He says in John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Let me ask you about your Christian walk today. Is it full of joy? It should be. If it's not full of joy, trust me, it's not because Jesus isn't doing His part. Chances are, it's because we're not doing our part. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Hallelujah. I like strength, I like peace, and I like joy. And Jesus says, "I want my joy to be in you, to remain in you, and I want your joy to be full." And so if you haven't found joy in being a Christian, let me just encourage you to draw near to Jesus. I had written something else in my notes, but I'm like, I don't know if I should say that. But here's the thing. If Christianity isn't bringing you joy, there's a good chance that you are living a Christ-like religion, or you're following, you know, Christ-like traditions, but you don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want to have joy as living as a Christian, it's all about Jesus. That's where the joy comes from. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ. And He desires for you and I to have joy. His joy. What is His joy? It's got to be far greater than anything I've ever imagined. And He wants me to have that. And He wants it to remain in me. And you know, I've found where... just the closer I draw to Him, the greater that joy is, no matter what's going on around us. And stuff goes on around us. We all have stuff going on around us. But the closer I cling to Jesus, the more joy I find even in the hardships. It's getting to the point where it's like, you know what? Satan will try something. He's working. He'll try something. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to laugh at that, because whatever his little scheme is, I know even if he's able to treat me like Job was treated, I know it's a temporary thing, because my God has joy for me and He wants it to remain. Draw close to Jesus that your joy may be full. Now, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And so how much love we have for others is a sign of how much of Jesus we have in our hearts. Do you see that? He says, "This is my commandment, you love one another as I have loved you." How many know that Jesus loved us a great, great deal? He loved us enough to look past all of our shortcomings. He loved us enough to forgive us of all of our sin. He loved us enough, even though, you know what, when I was a non-believer, I'm pretty sure that I said things that were very hurtful, very anti-God, things that if I was to say to any one of you, you would want to skewer me with a sword and say, you know what, you don't deserve to live. But Jesus said, you know what, I'll forgive you of that. He loved us that much. And so He wants us to love others the same. I was at and then greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. How much of your life are you willing to lay down in order to love somebody else? What if, you know, God calls you to, and by the way, I missed the mark. I'll share that with you too. The other day, I shared this Friday night. But how much of your life are you willing to lay down? The other day, I'm going to share a shortcoming with you. I missed it. I missed the mark the other day. I was walking out of the county building after a marvelous fatherhood meeting. and I walk out of the building, and there's a guy there in, sitting in a wheelchair. And as I'm walking by, the Spirit says, go get his story. And I just heard it, and I was in moving. I was focused on where I was, the next event I was headed to, and I kept walking. And I'm getting closer to my vehicle, and the Spirit says, go back and get that guy's story. I'm like, I don't know. You know, now I've already gone way past. It's going to be just weird. I get in my truck. I'm like, should I go back? I start the truck, and I head out the driveway, and the Spirit's like really drawing me. So I turn around. I go back. I find a parking place just in time to look and see the guy's getting in a cab. I missed it. I missed the opportunity. No greater love has one than this, than to lay down his life. I didn't lay down the next 5 minutes of my life just to go get that guy's story. And I'll tell you what, I'm like, wow, I repented. I'm like, God, I'm so sorry I missed that. I should have listened to you. And you know what? I use those experiences. I've had them before, but this one was just like, wow, I know better than this. And I use those experiences to encourage myself that, you know what, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I don't know what kind of fruit could have been produced that day, but I'm pretty sure God wanted me to go talk to that man. And so I prayed. I actually followed the cab down the road a ways to see if maybe he's just going someplace close and I was still having an encounter, but he headed off, and it's like, oh, God. And so I've been praying for that guy. But are we willing to lay down our lives to love somebody? Even if it means, you know what, maybe I'll be 5 minutes late to the next thing. What's that? Maybe that was the lesson. But let me encourage you this. When you learn from my mistake, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I'll never forget when we were in Walmart and we found that sister. We had already gone by, and I happened to see out of a corner of my eye this person that I knew, and the Spirit said, go pray for that person. And it's like, okay. And I went and I prayed, and it just turned into this marvelous encounter. I'm looking at Sarah because she was there too, and she was part of it. We didn't even know she was. We didn't know each other. We were even there, but God just created this whole awesome encounter. And so just let me encourage you, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you know, how do you know? Because he manifests. He manifested my heart, said, go get that guy's story. And I didn't listen. But when he does that, let me encourage you, just obey. Just, God, this is a perfect stranger. What am I supposed to say? Just walk up and say, hey, you know what? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I just want to pray for you for a minute. Would that be okay? You know, anything, just anything. Just stand there and let God tell you what to say. He'll tell you. And the guys, if you don't know what to say and they're looking at you like, what? You just say, I'm here. God wants me to do something for you. I don't know what yet, but I'm here. But anyway, lay down how much love we have for others is a sign of how much Jesus we have in our hearts. That's the truth. Jesus would never have missed that encounter. He so much, his love for others was so much that when somebody touched him, he knew it. The Spirit revealed it. He knew it. Virtue's gone up. What happened? Who touched me? Let's love others. Let's move on. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Here we go with the fruit again. And that your fruit should remain. Now, I want to talk about what this fruit is. Because I have had a misconception for years and years and years when I read through these verses. Oh, I got to bear fruit. I got to bear fruit. And to me, for years and years and years, the bearing fruit was all about getting people saved. That's what I felt it was all about. But as I read through this portion of Scripture, and he's talking about bearing fruit, the only thing I see him talking about there is love. I'm all concerned about getting people saved, and I think rightfully so. We should be evangelizing. We should be out there making disciples in all the nations, and we should be telling people about Jesus and getting them saved. But you know what? I believe God really is more concerned about if we will love them. Because if we won't love them, guess what? They're not going to hear a word you got to say. We watched a testimony Wednesday night of this young woman who had her life was a mess and a wreck, single mom, and she goes to this church, and what she says about, she says, they got me at the door. She said, when I walked in that place, the love they poured on her hooked her just like that. We've been talking about this church having a culture of love. And my desire would be just like that, that as soon as somebody walks in the door, they feel that love. They have an encounter with somebody who will just love them. And immediately, they'll be drawn to Christ. She walked in there. There was a greeter, met her at the door, didn't judge her, didn't say, just loved on her for a moment, told her where the children's thing was, and welcomed her to the place. She said, in that moment, she felt such love, she couldn't wait to get saved. The preacher started talking about new life, and she's like, I want that. And by the end of the service, she was saved in an instant, and it was all about the love. And if you look at this portion of Scripture, bearing fruit or not bearing fruit, it's all wrapped up, and it's all in the middle of God talking about love. Loving your neighbor. Love me. You know, how do we know that we love Jesus? We keep his commandments. How do we know that we love our brother? We'll lay down our life for them. And so what is the fruit? Look at Galatians chapter 5. It says it pretty plainly. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. And I'm going to read to into the next chapter a little bit. Verse 13 in Galatians chapter 5 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. And that didn't have the verse in it that I needed. The verse that I needed is actually verse 22. We've been talking about bearing fruit, right? Spiritual fruit. And again, my mindset all this time is about spiritual fruit, you know, bearing fruit, getting people saved, adding people to the kingdom of God. But look at what Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so now let's go back. We must be fruit bearers. Well, what's the fruit? Love. It's all about the love. Let's go back to, I wanted to remember this tonight. Every branch that in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me that does not love, he takes away. And it says, every branch that bears fruit, every branch that loves, he purges or he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. If you read that like this, every branch that does love, he prunes and he purges. What's that mean? You ever wonder, I've talked about this time and time again, why is it that somebody comes along that's hard to love? Well, guess what? You're being pruned. You're being purged. Why does he do that? Because he wants us to learn how to love even more. It's all about the love. The other day at the Fatherhood Connection, I'm sitting there with this another pastor, a couple other believers that he had brought, and some other gentlemen in the room, and they were talking about conflict, and they were talking about personalities, they were talking about not holding grudges and things like that, and in my particular personality style that they were talking about that day, I had all the strengths, but none of the weaknesses fit me. And the guy's like, really? He goes, how do you do that? And I said, well, at the end of the day, it's all about love. And so, and one of the we were talking about not holding a grudge, and he said, I don't know how you do that. And this is a pastor talking to me, the guy that's leading the Fatherhood Connections throughout all New York State. He's like, well, you know, I haven't quite figured that out yet. And I said to him, well, you know, it's Jesus is my model. He loved me all the way to his death, which means he humbled himself all the way down to nothing. Whether I did the right thing or the wrong thing, he still chose to love me, and he didn't let it bother him whatever I did. What I did, he left up to me. But he chose to love. And so at the end of the day, if I have a conflict with somebody, rather than hold a grudge, I can back myself all the way out to that love and say, you know what? It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that they know I love them. And then we got talking about, and I said, well, you know, part of the reason he goes, well, how did you? He goes, I've got some work to do. How'd you get there? And I said, well, it's partly my spiritual training. I mean, you know, as I'm learning the Bible, as I learn to follow Christ, I learn how to be humble, let go of pride, and not worry about what other people's do, but rather worry about what I do. What other people do to me is not a reflection of who I am, but whether or not I will love them is a reflection of who I am. And so then we were talking about, you know, spiritual stuff at the moment there. And what I said to him is this. I said, I don't have to be the most spiritual person in the room. I have to be the most loving person in the room. And so I want to close with this. Don't strive to be the most religious person in the room. Yeah, how many of you ever been to one of those places and somebody's like, oh, you know, all the holy this and all that, and we're so spiritual and we're so religious. I'm the most religious person in the room. Or how about don't strive to be the most spiritual person? You ever had seen that person? I remember, I know a few different people. All they want to do is tell you about the great experience they had with God and this awesome spiritual event and how the Spirit of God is moving and I got this spiritual gift and I got that spiritual gift. And you know what? Oh, you're the most spiritual person in the room. You know what? I am so done with being the most spiritual person in the room. Not that I ever was. But this is what I know I need. I need to strive to be the most loving person in the room. Because if I can be that guy, guess what's going to happen? My Father God is going to be glorified. And I'm going to bear fruit for his kingdom. It's all about the love. And so I want you to think about that. I want you to hold on to that. The next time you're in a crowd of people, even whether things are going the way you like it or the things that are going the way you don't like it, make sure you are the most loving person in the room, no matter what. Because you know what? If you will be the most loving person in the room, there isn't anything that can happen in that room that day that will disappoint you. How many of us get disappointed when things don't go our way? It happens. But you know what? When you back it all the way down to, you know what? I'm just going to love you no matter what. You can't be disappointed. You think Jesus sitting in heaven is disappointed right now for all the people that didn't choose him? I don't think so. Does he desire that they would have followed him? I'm sure he does. But he says he's got joy. And he wants me to have that same joy. And he wants that joy to be full. Why? How can he do that? Because he knows he is the most loving person in the room. And that's awesome. Well, Pastor, how do I become the most loving person in the room? You go back to 2 or 3 weeks ago and you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You get the tape that we preached the message. That's how you become the most loving person in the room. It's all written down in God's Word. You want to bear fruit, and you want that fruit to remain. Think about that for a moment. God wants us to bear fruit, much fruit. Let me put the word love in there. And I know I'm really, some of you might be like, wow, you're really twisting Scripture. I don't think so. It says fruit, but I believe he's talking about love, loving one another. Why do I believe that? Because in the middle of that whole thing in chapter John 15, you didn't once hear it say anything about getting people saved. All it talked about was loving people. And so, in the context of what it's saying, be the most loving person in the room. But let that love just continue to grow. Let it continue to manifest. What's the greatest thing the Bible says? Love. And so, bearing much love, and that love should remain. That love should remain. When you leave the room, when you're no longer a part of the crowd, people should remember. You know, this is something I've said a few times too. People won't always remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. And if you can help somebody feel loved, they will never forget that. And that will draw them to God. You wonder why it's so hard when we lose a loved one? Because that love remains. God wants us to have that kind of love for everybody. That love remains. And so stand with me, fruit bearers. Don't be the branch that doesn't have any love. That branch should be cut off and thrown into the fire. Don't be the branch that can't handle being pruned every now and again. Because God's going to do that. There's going to be times when we're going to need a little bit. Pamela, would you hand this to Kylie, please?
I'm just thinking back on what you were saying about how when we need to bear fruit, but you also said that we cannot bear that fruit of ourselves, and that's kind of staring me in the face right now because it's very true of love as well. We cannot love people if we try to love them by ourselves. God is the one who puts that love in our hearts towards them because he loves them.
Amen. Thank you. If there's anything good, it came from God. If there's any true love, thank you, it came from God. Why is that? Because God is love. And I appreciate you pointing that out and bringing us back to that idea that, you know what? All of this is for naught if you don't have Jesus. And so, if you're struggling in the love area for others, then chances are your love for God is a little off too. And you need to draw back and draw closer to Him. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that I don't have to worry about how many or who are getting saved. But I thank you, God, that you've revealed to me that my job is simply to love. And I pray, God, that through that love, multitudes will get saved. God, help me not to worry about being the most religious person in the room or the most spiritual person in the room, but help me, God, to be the most loving person in the room. Father, forgive me when I miss that mark as I did the other day. But God, help me to have the wisdom to use even an experience like that to encourage me to draw even closer to you and to be more sensitive to your spirit when you call me to love no matter where, no matter when, no matter who. Father, bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.